Hey, this is Vito.
This is Liz, and we are two lovebirds trying to navigate through life, love, and parenting the best we can.
Each month, we take on a new challenge in an attempt to deepen our relationship and spice things up a bit.
Join us as we share the lessons we learned from all the bumps in the road we travel on. Welcome to the long haul.
We're back. And we're back.
Yes. We are.
Yes, we are. Where'd you go?
Babe.
What?
I didn't go anywhere. We missed an entire week.
No, we were so engulfed with this last week's challenge that we decided to make it 2 weeks, is what you meant to say.
Then that wouldn't have been the last week's challenge. That would have been the third week's challenge, making it into 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was so good.
Do you even remember what it was?
Yes, it was. never assume.
Yeah. Don't make assumptions.
Yes, because I was saying how fun it is to assume. And so what did you get out of it?
I realized that I assume more than I thought, but mostly with my family.
Do you want to elaborate?
I assume with you, with mom, with like people close to me. Mm-hmm. I think I make more assumptions about that than I do really anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Or things that like are important to me, I guess, like at work sometimes.
Okay.
I assume like the midwives think certain things about me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. I am definitely the doom and gloom kind of guy. And you're more of the everything works out kind of gal.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are times where you're like, this is going to be this and that. And this is how it's going to happen. And it's going to be the worst thing. And it's like, that's the craziest assumption I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we all have that, right?
Yeah.
I think what... So obviously I knew that I assume a lot. What I found interesting was that I was more... curious during conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found myself, when people are talking, leading in my head of I know where they're going to and being like, okay, yeah, totally, you know, instead of asking more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're kind of like just assuming where they're going instead of like being curious and in the conversation, and it might not turn out the way that you thought.
Yeah. Or even just assuming that they're meaning what they're saying. Because sometimes we say things and we're trying to figure it out while we're saying it. And sometimes it doesn't come out right. But I found myself asking more questions, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conversation's more interesting, really.
I felt like you asked a lot of questions this last week.
Yeah, I do this stuff, babe. Yeah. I take this stuff to heart.
Yeah.
I got some feedback from our listeners that they really enjoy this like book clubish type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know some people who are reading the book and they'll listen in and hear, you know, how we're incorporating into our lives, and it's just fun. Liz is in full mom mode right now.
What does that mean?
Overdrive. You were looking so good.
Thanks, babe.
From the back, it's like 2015. From the front, you pregnant as hell.
Yeah, my belly popped out. Yeah, I feel like for me, the assumption too, like sometimes I can assume things about the day. And I don't want to do that. Like, if I'm just waking up so tired, I'm like, oh, I'm just not going to have any energy today. Mm. I'm not going to be able to get anything done. Like, I have acid reflux and this. And, like, if I'm dragging in the morning and just kind of putting assumptions on the day. And that's really a disservice to myself.
100%, and so, yeah.
One thing that I've found very productive to help me in the morning, because normally, when Jovi would wake up, I'd come and bring her into bed with me, and we'd nurse and kind of cuddle, and I would just like be a zombie while she's crawling on me and nursing. is that when she gets up, first of all, if I end up waking up before her, like, I'll kind of just, like, get up, which has only happened, like, 2 or 3 times. But then I'll, when she gets up, I just get out of bed. I go to her room and I stay in her room and I open up her windows and I let some sunlight in and just nurse her in the chair and talk to her. And then I'm out of bed. And that, then it's so much easier for me to, like, get going.
Mm.
Instead of grabbing her, going into bed, wishing I had 10 more minutes, wishing I had whatever, you know, like 5 more minutes of sleep. If I just get up and go to her room, it, like, completely changes my morning.
What's different about it, aside from the location?
Because I'm just, like, in our room, it's, like, dark and you're under the covers. I'm just wishing for more sleep. And I'm like, oh, I can't get up. I'm so tired. And I just, if I'm laying in bed, I want to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get up and I'm in her room and there's sunlight pouring in, because her window's on the east side, so it's the morning sun, so the sunlight's pouring in, and she's always super cheerful in the morning, and mm-hmm. then it just forces me to get up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just up for the day.
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of dragging.
Is that the difference that you made? Because you said you've been having more energy lately. Is that since you've made that change?
It might be. I'm not sure. I feel like it's a little bit of everything. I'm feeling like I'm finally getting just back to feeling like I can get stuff done. I feel like this pregnancy has been really rough for me. Just feeling like lack of motivation, just really tired, which I think is normal having a 1-year-old and being pregnant. I'm sure that that's really common. I think Jovi's sleeping a lot better, which is helping my sleep a lot better. And I've also been tossing and turning a little less and sleeping better.
What do you think has changed? What's different?
Well, I'm just feeling better in my pregnancy overall. Like, I'm not, like, I was
has
randomly.
Has your diet changed?
No. I'm eating more vegetables, maybe.
But salad. You're getting more sleep.
yeah, I'm getting more sleep. And I'm just trying to have a different perspective. I actually interviewed this lady for the podcast, and it hasn't, I think I'm going to release this episode the week of Thanksgiving. But she talked about joy and cultivating joy in our life. And I realized that I was letting little things steal my joy for, like, no reason. And I've just been really trying to find the joy in the everyday and being grateful that I get to provide for my family through nourishing them. And yeah, that means doing dishes 3 times a day, you know, but still that's time that I'm just trying to be grateful for and to find joy, like, in the little things that maybe before I'd be annoyed at. So I think I've also been really trying to work on just, like, an attitude shift as well. And I think that that's affected my energy.
Yeah, I would imagine. If the what you were describing, like laying in the bed in a dark room, wishing for more sleep versus sitting up in a sun-filled room.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge change.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just, like, I'm back to, like, getting dressed for the day before I even come downstairs. Like, before I'm like, I'll just keep my sweats on and sweatshirt on, you know, come downstairs. And now it's every morning Jovi and I nurse. We brush our teeth. We pick out our outfits for the day. I get dressed. I usually bring her outfit down here. But just getting dressed for the day and coming down so that it's not one thing later where I'm like, oh, I should go for a walk. And then I'm like, oh, I have to go upstairs. I have to get changed. I have to, you know, like, just.
You can do things when you have the idea to do
it. I'm already ready.
You're ready, yeah.
I mean, and me getting ready is wearing leggings, so.
Yeah,
it's not
it doesn't take you a lot to get ready. That's awesome, babe.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy for you.
Thanks.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels better. I feel a lot better.
That's cool. And that's cool too, that you're not letting, to bring it back to the assumptions thing, you're not letting the assumptions of the day of like how you wake up affect your day. Like you're not going to assume, oh, because I woke up kind of groggy or with a stiff neck or whatever, that it's going to basically your day's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think also I've been feeling the baby move a lot more, which is like today. I'm going to try not to get emotional. Today, I feel like was the first time that I got like super excited about this pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like I've been getting like kind of excited, but today I was like, this is going to be awesome. Like having two kids under two is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And before I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard. This is whatever. Like mm-hmm. more of that dread of how am I going to do it? Like having yeah. Jovi was so hard. Like that, those first couple months were so hard. And I just feel like the, like today I was like, I got this.
I think they were hard because we didn't know. Like going from yeah. no kids to a kid.
Your world changes it, so yeah, it drastically. Doesn't even,
I forgot who I was talking to, but I was like, your world doesn't even change. It's like you opened a door and walked into like a whole new realm of reality.
Right.
And the old world is gone, you know? But I think, I mean, who knows? Going from one to two might be the same thing.
But I mean, it's definitely what everyone's telling me is like at first it's really hard and then it's really awesome. I'm sure getting the hang
mm-hmm.
of like
the balancing
bringing
act.
Two babies downstairs in the yeah. morning, trying to get everybody, you know.
But Jovi's she could slide down the stairs.
Yeah, she's an escape artist. But you know what I mean? Just getting the hang of like the little day tasks of, mm-hmm. you know, bouncing the baby and
yeah,
doing this or that. But today I'm like, I got this and I just feel super excited about doing it because I'm also like people like women have been doing this for thousands and thousands of yeah. years. I don't have it any harder than anybody else.
Right.
In if fact, anything, I have it a lot easier yeah. than so many people. Right. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. And yeah. I just,
and most women, you know, for thousands of years have had like five under five, you know, I'm not whatever it is, whatever it is, but you know. But yeah, I'm really excited. Like really, it brings a lot of joy to my heart that you say that you're like intentionally changing your attitude, because that's something that I've really struggled with and wanted to, I try work on. It's like me not eating sugar, right? Like I do it for a week at a time and then I crash, and then I do it for 2 weeks and then I crash.
You're fine when you commit to it, but then once you're over it,
right.
Once you're like, I did the 6 weeks of no sugar.
Right. Then it's just like Kit Kats, Reese's.
No, it's everything. Not. Only if it's at the house.
Yeah. So, but it is something that it is a huge, when I was a kid in second grade, Miss Bucci's class, I remember like it was yesterday, there was a sign above the chalkboard that says attitude's a small thing that makes a big difference. It's just fact. But as an adult, to think about that quote is like, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a small thing that makes a big difference. It is literally everything.
Right.
And my attitude for a lot is just crappy. I'm not like sometimes I talk about myself like I'm very negative or I'm a happy guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm fun to be around or no?
Very, yeah.
Am I boring?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, you're we very fun. You're happy.
Yeah.
You're just a little cynical.
Yes. And I would like to not be. And we started and finished Ted Lasso. And that show is
the real reason we haven't podcasted.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. But whoever hasn't watched it, you should watch it. You wouldn't even need to really pay the full month. You could watch it in a week. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so addicting. But his attitude is so contagious. And it's hard for me to picture myself with such a positive attitude, but that's how I used to be. And when I look at myself now, I'm like, I couldn't even imagine my initial instinct for what somebody would say being that positive, but it always was. So it's weird that I'm like so disconnected to how I used to be. But it's definitely something I'm working on to get back to. Mm-hmm. Because life was just so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just, everything was easier. Everything yeah. came easier. Mm-hmm. Results came easier.
I think that something that you and I both do, though, because I think we're both, by nature, try to, like, see the good and positive and things like that. But one thing that I've noticed that I do is I do now more than I used to kind of take on the energy of the room or take on the energy of who I'm around. And
you're only around me, babe.
I know. But even like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like sometimes I can just, if I know it's, again, it's back to assuming. I'm going to assume that this like whatever thing I'm going to isn't going to be that great. I just kind of take on that energy instead of being positive about it, which takes me back to that podcast of that that lady I interviewed about joy, is that like, I can't believe that haven't been allowing myself to have this joy. And also I'm responsible for my joy. Like if when you have true joy, nobody can take that from you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you won't experience sadness, hurt, any of those emotion, anger, whatever. But when you have this deep joy that you can tap into, it is an unlimited source. And for me, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And letting little things rob me of joy is totally on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that even goes for those situations where I'm just assuming like, oh, this is going to be boring or stupid or annoying or whatever. I'm already setting it up for failure. I'm setting myself up for failure.
Right.
Instead of going, like you're saying, being curious, going in and being like, huh, I wonder what it's going to be like tonight.
Right.
I'm going to have fun no matter what.
Yeah. And to go back to, I think it was the second chapter of not taking things personally. It's like, even so let's say you don't assume and you are more curious, and then you'd be silly and you'd be more yourself and somebody gives you a dirty look or someone makes fun of you. You have to incorporate the not taking it personally too, because then it's like that's stealing your joy. You know, if we take someone's reaction to, you know, let's say we are vulnerable and we are who we are and somebody doesn't accept it,
mm-hmm.
and that makes us sad or hurt, well, you just allow that person not accepting you to steal your joy, when who knows what they're, you know, they're living their life, you're living yours. So I mean, that's, and again, that's why we chose this book. It's a really good book. It's got, you know, just principles that really make sense, you know. And it's like, with, especially with me and like with my attitude, trying to be more positive or more optimistic or whatever, yeah, not assuming it and not taking things personally is it's everything. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you could do that, then you can maintain the joy, the happiness.
I feel like I still need to work on all of them a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's not like a book that you read and you're like, oh, my life is better.
I got this down.
Yeah.
I do think I mostly take things really personally with you.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
What did I say today? And you gave me a... Oh, no. I said we have to clean the floor. And then I went to go hump your leg and you moved or you pushed me away. And then I was like, what'd I do?
I have zero recollection of
any of
this.
Yeah, remember? And I was like, is it never mind. I pulled my pants.
I don't remember you saying anything about the floor.
You're like, no, you just said that the floor is not clean enough and I'm the worst wife or whatever. And then you laughed about it. You don't remember this?
No, and I said, oh, yeah, now I'm starting to. I don't remember the other part, really. I said, this is like what I hear.
Yeah.
And or like yesterday, I think it was, you're like, we need to organize this cupboard because the doors aren't shutting. And I was like, I'm going to kill you because I just organized that cupboard and I know that these doors shut. If they're right. not shutting, it's because you threw everything back in there the wrong way.
No, Jovi.
Or whatever.
Takes
right.
everything out. Yeah.
But I had just organized that cupboard, got rid of a bunch of stuff like the week before. And
it
so
is a lot more empty.
Annoyed at your comment, and then I take it personally, and then I'm like, nothing's ever good enough for Vito, blah blah blah.
Yeah, with what all I said was the door isn't shut, which right. is just, it wasn't shut,
right?
I don't know how else to say it that's not gonna offend you.
So then I opened all the cupboard doors and left the room. Yeah.
And I just laughed.
But I did it like in a funny way. I wasn't like, I was doing it because I knew it was stupid.
Right.
So I think taking things personally is definitely the most with you than anything else.
Yep.
And I'd say...
Which is weird because I feel, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I feel as if I pretty much daily use words of affirmation with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Like I tell you positive things about you. Right, and
but then again, this has nothing to do with you. It's all me and my stuff.
Right. But is the balance there between my comments of criticism, comments of like the doors open versus comments of like, oh, you're the best, yada, yada.
Yeah, I think so. It's something that I'm working on. And the thing is, I feel like most of the time when I do take it personally, I know I'm being ridiculous.
I would hope so.
And you know. And so it's like, I'm just like more annoyed, rolled my eyes, and then like laugh about it a second later. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's never, not never, but it's not always like this huge thing. So, yeah. And I think being impeccable with my word, I need to just work on a little bit as well. So should we say what the last week is?
Yeah, so the last week, the final shebang is, and we're going to double up because it's November now.
Yeah.
And this month's challenge has a lot to do with attitude. What?
Nothing. I don't know if I fully know this month's challenge.
Oh, it's very simple.
But I thought we were going to like incorporate something
else.
Yeah,
no, we will. Okay. So basically the last agreement is always do your best, and your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstances, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this week's challenge, which is the first week of November. Now we are also starting a November challenge, which is the gratitude jar.
Okay, let's talk about this first, and yes, then let's get into that. Yeah. I think this one's very challenging for me, too, because I can be hard on myself when I know I'm not, like, doing my best or doing my most. Or I think actually there's a good clarifying moment. Your best isn't always the most. Doing the most doesn't mean you're doing your best. And I think that's what's hard for me is when I'm, like, feeling really productive, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, I realize when I put Jovi down for her nap, rocking her to sleep, I get so tired.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, after her nap, I'm like, oh man, like I'm ready for a nap now too. But like when I wake up, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this done and that done and whatever. And then in the afternoon when I'm like, wow, I'm just really dragging ass now. And then I get mad at myself. Then I start telling myself that I'm lazy and whatever, which is not being impeccable with my word to myself.
Right. But you are also, I think you're telling yourself things that you know, they sort of go hand in hand. Be impeccable with your word when you're saying, you know, you shouldn't say you're being lazy, but you should be honest with yourself. Am I doing my best?
Mm-hmm.
Am I capping out to my laziness or whatever? Like, for example, there was something that I went to go throw a cardboard box out in the garage, and I just set it on the laundry room counter. And then I was like, why are you doing this? I said, it's six extra steps, just go throw it out. You know, like this is the conversation I have with myself. And I've been doing it a lot lately, especially because we got, you know, we got a new truck for work, and I was like, let's just keep this clean. So every time I get out of the car, I'll throw away whatever's in there. And it's not like clean, it's not, you know, buffed and waxed, but there's nothing in there.
Right.
And in the beginning, I would kind of not do it. Mm-hmm. I would leave it in there and be like, oh, I'll throw it out when we get to the next place. And I was like, no, just do it. You know, and you have to like remind yourself. And that's sort of the thing is like, always do your best. Like, are you, for me, it's I'll stop early when I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, okay, I'll finish it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that eats away at me for sure, subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, just do it. Because then I ask the questions of like, oh, am I capable of doing these things? Or it feeds in my insecurity of like, do I have what it takes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, well, yeah, I don't know, because you didn't do it. So instead of facing that insecurity of, do I have what it takes, I just push it, and then we don't know the answer.
Yeah, I think that this is a really fine balance between, I mean, so you and I have talked a lot before about how we're very similar in the aspect that we've never had to try super hard at things. Like, I got straight A's in high school, was okay at sports or whatever, did great at show choir. Whatever I tried, like, I did pretty decent at.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us were never, like, the absolute star of whatever. But we got by just fine. Never really had to work hard to have those achievements when we were younger.
Choose different words, because we both worked very hard.
Okay. But, I mean, like, it's not like...
You didn't have to put a significant effort to get a decent result.
Right. But then,
but
that
I put
also
in hours of training and studying,
right,
and
right,
all that stuff too.
But we've also never fully put our heart into something.
Right, anything specifically.
Right. It wasn't like, this is my one passion, I'm pouring everything I have into it and just seeing how far it can take me.
Right.
So I feel like that's where, like, always try your best. Can be hard, because some people take it, like, all the way far to, like, that passion versus, like, even just, like, everyday life.
Mm.
Of, like you're saying, just taking a few extra steps and throwing this away so I'm not creating extra work for myself later.
Mm-hmm.
And then also noticing that always trying your best is also recognizing the need for self-care, for rest, for whatever. Like, you need to nourish your body. You need to take care of your body in order for you to do well at things.
Yeah. Well, I think too, like what it was saying is, your best is going to look different every day. So I think all it is it's just a reflection. It's let's say you are sick. Are you milking it? Or are you not taking the steps that you need, that you know you need to take to get better? Are you, you know, is it just mental that you don't feel well? Like, what is it? It's more of a self-reflection than always do your best. You know, look at you right now. Are you putting forth your best effort, or are you selling yourself short?
Mm-hmm.
And only you'll know that.
Yeah.
I can't know. You know, and on Monday it might be doing 10 push-ups, and on Tuesday it's doing 5, but it's your best. And on Thursday it's doing 50. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at the end of the 10 push-ups, you're feeling like you gave it your all, and at the end of the 5, you're feeling the same, then that's just what you can do that day.
I feel like that the always do your best is something that, like, we could talk about in so many different ways, but you're the person who has to define what that is for yourself.
Right. Like you said, when you specifically, you, Liz, do mm-hmm. stuff, when you start calling yourself lazy and whatnot, it's because you know that you didn't give your best effort.
It might be, but also because that's something that's a, I don't know the word I'm looking for, a thing that I have that I've told myself for years.
Yeah, but I think
so
it's because
even if,
you know,
I feel sick and I, like, can't do much, or, like, mm-hmm. my body, like, physically actually needs rest, I get mad at myself because there was laundry to be folded and I didn't do it. Type thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel that. When I'm sick, I'm like, get better first and then worry about that stuff.
Yeah, we
but
operate
if I'm sick,
super
if I'm sick for days, which is rare, then it's like,
it's not even necessarily, you don't have bad. To be sick in order to do nothing. Like, sometimes you need a rest day, or sometimes you need, like, it's okay to, you've been running around all day, it's okay to sit on the couch for an hour and put your feet up.
Yeah. Maybe the guilt comes from, let's say you choose to take a rest day, but you're on the phone the whole day, or you're watching TV, and you know that those things don't qualify as rest for you because they're not filling, they're draining still. Right? Like when we did the no technology in September, like your energy is different without a phone in your hand or without the TV on. Like you're genuinely resting. Even if you're playing cards, it's a different kind of, your body is in a different state of rest.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you're like, hey, let me take a rest day, but you just scroll all day or whatever, and then you don't feel rested, then that's when you feel guilty. Because like, man, I didn't even rest when I said I was going to rest. Because sitting down is not resting if you're not resting.
Right. I get what you're saying, but that's not like any of the situations that I'm really thinking about.
Okay. I think you
know. For me,
know,
it's more of a comparison thing.
Yeah, I think you know what's right for you.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, the always do your best is, like, only you can answer it for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I start, like you just said, there's never been anything that I've, like, sunk my teeth into and I'd love to, and I start a bunch of stuff to try to see, is this something that I could, you know, stick my teeth into? And I'm kind of coming to the point in my life where I'm like, maybe I need to take a couple more steps in whatever I start to see if it's something that I want to see. Because I'll start, I'll do a bunch of stuff. I'll do whatever I need to do to get going. I'll do one or two, whatever. And then I'm like, this is fun, but it's not my thing. And then I just stop. And I'm like, maybe I need to keep going for like a year or two or three, you know, like, I don't know, but then I just feel like I'm wasting time.
Right. But you're not. Anybody who's built anything, it took them a while.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's not about building things. It's about finding what's my thing. That's
right, but
like,
I mean,
that's when I start things, that's what I'm going into. That's where my mindset is. Like, is this my thing? Let's try it out. Let's start it. And it's not like, oh, I need to build something. Oh, I haven't seen results. I'm quitting. It's not that. It's, I'm not feeling that burning passion for it. So I'm like, okay, let's try something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'm, what does the burning passion start on day one? Does it start on day 300? That's what I'm starting to question now.
Right. But I also don't think that every single person has a burning passion.
Well, that would suck. I want one.
I mean, you might have one, but it might not be what your career is. That's what I'm saying.
What,
like,
would
it might
be my
not
burning
be
passion?
What brings you... Your burning passion is like...
You?
I think that very few people find something where their talents and gifts and abilities and what they're passionate about actually align to where they can make a career out of it.
I don't even have a hobby. I'm not looking for even a career. I don't even have a hobby.
No, but that's what I'm saying. For your burning passion, though, you're looking for a career. You are.
I'd like to turn it into one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is like,
but I'm starting as, is this a hobby I can see myself getting into?
Right. So I think that a lot of people, it takes them a while to find that or something like that. And I think it's something that's, I don't want to say it's overrated, but people like talk about it like how I grew up. It's like, God has this big call on your life. Like, he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. So I was always like, what's God's purpose for me? What's his purpose for me? Because that's like what I'm going to do with my life. But it's like, okay, God's purpose for you is to love him and to love people.
Yeah.
I do think that he does call certain people to do specific things,
mm-hmm.
where people are like, wow, I really feel like God led me to this, you know, and now I feel like I'm getting into that. I feel like I've had this heart to help women, and I've always wanted to be like, I've always been nurturing and really wanted to take care of people, and I'm really passionate about women and birth. So now that's starting to align for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't really picture myself doing things that I've tried in my past.
Yeah.
Or things that when I was younger, I'm like, I'm going to do this when I'm older. And now I'm like, I love the doula field. Like, I'm passionate about people knowing their options going into this incredible day of their life,
mm-hmm.
and being prepared for it. And so I'm starting to find that. And I'm going to be 35.
Yeah.
it's not something that people, when you're 18, they're like, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you were saying is something that's extremely relatable, right? Like, even if you didn't grow up like in the church or whatever, people are like, oh, just find what you're passionate about and do that. Go to, you know, direct yourself for that. And I went through the same thing you did. It's like, what is my calling? What am I here for? And we were just asking a good question, but thinking of it in a wrong way. We're looking for a one specific thing to do as a career instead of, like you said, what we're called to do, all of us, is to love God and love our neighbors. And that's it. Like, that is the gist of life. And there's things that you can do. Like, then you move into the second tier, which is like, what are my skills? How can I love people best?
Well, how do I put this love into action?
Right.
I mean, you can do those actions in your everyday life, but...
And I think, like we've talked about, it starts with yourself, mm-hmm. then your intimate relationship, mm-hmm. then your family, then your extended family, then it branches out slowly. And I think that's... And obviously, there's no rule book to life, but I genuinely believe that 100% with my heart, that's our calling. That's everyone's calling. And it's very simple, and it's extremely rewarding because it is just pure,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then if you have something that you are passionate about, that you can sink your teeth into, and it brings out more love because it's something you love to do,
mm-hmm.
then go for it.
Yeah. Every time you say sink your teeth into, I picture you sinking your teeth into something.
Your neck?
Into something. I can't help it. I just get this visual of you just like biting into.
Yeah. Usually peaches, because something. We have peach trees at our house. And I remember that's like whenever I think of myself sinking my teeth into something, it's just a peach, because in the peach juice, just it's so juicy. And then you have to like drink it while you're eating it. Oh, it's the best.
I feel like those peaches haven't gotten that juicy.
There's been a lot going on. We usually pick off the small ones and let them grow a little bigger.
Right. So I mean, just going back to always doing your best, it does carry into your everyday life. And so actually the Bible talks about that. It says, no matter like who you're working for, no matter like what you're doing, basically work as if you're working for God, like show up and like do your best,
mm-hmm.
no matter what your role is. Because that's also like what's supposed to set you apart, is that attitude, is that work ethic, is all the things that we've been working on.
Yeah. Well, kind of to share a story, our custodian / maintenance guy growing up in school, his name was Rich,
mm-hmm.
and he was the man.
Yeah.
And that's a man who came and didn't just do his job, but like built relationships with the students, and mm-hmm. you know, like that's a perfect example of doing your best.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, he did his job great, but then he went over and beyond and like helped kids.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like he was the guy that like the trouble kids could relate to, but everyone loved them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's doing pretty good. He lives by us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. He's a good guy.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that's like something that you also look at our generation, like the millennial generation, and so many people enter the workforce just so entitled and not wanting to work toward anything. And that's just like not how the world works.
Well, even too, I just kind of like clicked my mouth. That was weird.
I don't know what you did.
Even to this whole, and I'll talk about it again, the whole social media thing, it's like we spend so much time commenting or worrying about what's happening in the world and making sure that what I have to say about it is heard, instead of doing your best in your life. You know, like everyone's so excited to comment about things where that's not doing anything. You're just, right. Or like, oh, we have to cancel this person. It's now my mission to cancel this person. It's like, why don't you do the best you can in your life and then let that sprinkle out in the world instead of like doing nothing.
Like, honestly, doing
right. You're
nothing.
You're genuinely, oh, that person got fired. Great. Now, what has changed in your life? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's gotten worse because there's been no progress in your life. You've been so worried about everyone else's life.
Yeah.
And it's not even the cancel thing. It's just even scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing nothing while you're scrolling because you're so worried about everybody else that you completely neglect yourself. And it's like, how can you do your best in your life when you're neglecting it?
Yeah.
Dude, I genuinely hate social media.
I know you do.
The more I think about it, the more aggravated I get.
You have to be a little grateful for it, though.
It has its place. It has its place 100%. Mm-hmm. It can be a great tool. But I'm off of it because I know how addicting it is.
Right.
Like, I'll go on it as a tool to try to find something, and then I end up scrolling mindlessly, and then I delete the apps because I'm like, this is, it got me again.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was as pure as its best version, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great tool. It can be.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of the time, it's not used for that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you use it well, but then you scroll a lot.
Yeah, I could definitely spend too much time on there.
You know? So you use it as a tool, and then it uses you.
I mean, the majority of the people I get for my podcast, I find through Instagram.
Yeah, it's a great tool, for sure.
Yeah.
Except for when it's using you.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, hey, we're reading books. Good night, you know? Then it gets frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, always do your best. And then, just really quick, we'll introduce the November challenge, which is the gratitude jar. So I have a friend, he came on my podcast a while ago, and he was talking about something that really changed his life. Was he has a glass jar, so you have to be able to see through it, and there's a pad of paper and pen or pencil next to it, and anytime anybody in his family is feeling grateful for something, they write it down and drop it in there. And he's like, it seems silly and it seems simple. He goes, but it has literally changed many of my days around, where he would come home from work stressed or whatever, and he would just see a pile of white notes. You can't see anything on it, but he would just see a pile, and he's like, yes, I have a ton to be grateful for. And it's also exciting, too. He was explaining how it's exciting to see that the people around him have a ton to be grateful for. And it really helped him shift his mindset like immediately into gratitude and joy, like you were saying, and positivity. So I figured we'd give it a shot. And then each week we're going to talk about something that it's incorporated into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be different, just to kind of see how gratitude plays a role in our life.
Yeah. So this week, I mean, we're just using a mason jar.
I know, we got to get a bigger one, though. I'm planning on filling it.
I mean, we have other ones.
Big ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I already wrote
two things.
I have a punch bowl, babe.
Well, let's fill up the mason jar first. Let's try it out.
Which I can use at Thanksgiving now.
Oh, yeah. We're hosting Thanksgiving. Our first one. This will be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I'm nervous, but I'm not nervous. I'm excited. They feel the same.
Why are you nervous? You're not in the kitchen at all.
Because it's my house, woman.
Okay.
I got people coming over. I need it to be put together.
Okay.
I am the captain now.
So are you going to make the turkey?
I got to cut it. I got to learn how to cut a turkey. Do you know how to cut a turkey?
Yeah, you got to carve it.
Oh, thanks for using a different word. Do you know how to carve a turkey?
Sure.
No.
Can't be that hard.
It can't be, but I got a YouTube.
I made a turkey before and I carved it.
Did you carve it well?
I think
That's what I'm saying. White meat, dark meat. Where are they?
The breasts is the white meat.
You know what I'm saying? We got some studying to do. I do at least.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, a gratitude jar. This is something you can do with your kids. If you got older kids or whatever, or just you, even if you're single, go for it. If you live with your family members, do it with them. Whoever's in your home, just do it with them. Something fun everybody can do. And then at the end of the month, you dump it out and read through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can reflect on how beautiful life is.
Yeah.
Now, what an amazing challenge.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think your friend, though, when he came on your podcast, he said that they wait the whole year.
Yeah, I'll have to listen back to it.
I'm pretty sure that it was at the beginning of the year, they set out the jar, and then like around Christmas or whatever, at the new year, they read everything they were grateful for that year, everything that happened that they were grateful for that year.
That would be cool. Well, yeah. Let's try it for the month, and then we'll see.
We could do it.
Yeah, we'll incorporate it into the year. That'd be cool if we had like a big jar.
Mm-hmm.
You just... MJ.
Kobe.
Don't.
What?
Kobe, Elizabeth.
Sorry.
You're in Chicago.
MJ.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Kobe. He lived in Italy for a while. He spoke fluent Italian.
Mm. Very neat. Yeah, I mean, we could even do it starting now, see how the month goes, but
I just figured with Thanksgiving
it's great around, but nice, I'm saying if open. We want to do a year, we could do it every Thanksgiving, read everything that we're grateful for. It doesn't have to be like a new year.
Yeah, so we could start this month, read it Thanksgiving, and then start the year.
Right.
Yeah
cool.
That'd be a good Thanksgiving tradition.
I think we will have a lot to be grateful for this next year.
Yes.
We're going to have two kids, babe.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with our life?
Just living it the best we can. Doing God's work.
Wild. Even today I was thinking, I was holding Jovi and I'm like, I'm her mom. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't ever
like,
think
I'm
that.
A mom. Like, I don't see myself as a mom still. Even though, like, basically the majority of my day, time, and world revolves around being her mom.
Mm-hmm.
I just see myself as Liz. Like,
yeah.
It's hard for me to see myself as a mom.
That's who you are.
Right. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy. I have a 1-year-old. She doesn't even look like me. I don't even know whose kid she is.
I went to a wedding this weekend and I couldn't watch the daddy-daughter dance. Because I got too emotional. It's like, I'm not doing this. I'm not crying at a wedding. Just look somewhere else. So the whole time I didn't even look. I've just been so emotional lately. We watched Raya, The Last Dragon. Just cried.
It's a great movie.
Just cried.
Babe, I think you're taking on my hormones, though, because everything makes me cry. But mostly, it's mostly tears of joy. But almost any movie I watch, mm-hmm. I cry in.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that I see differently now. It's just like, ah, man, everything is so different.
Yeah.
Everything is so different.
What
was the cheesiest things? Oh, we watched that Little Italy movie on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even watching
it. It was so stupid,
like,
and it was so good.
A few parts of it. And at the end, I was like, I didn't even pay attention to this movie, and I'm crying. I don't even know.
You were in the kitchen doing your puzzle. And I could just hear you sniffling, and you're like, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't even know what's going on in the movie.
Yeah, basically.
That was a good movie, though. That was a feel good. That was funny. I like that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I need to work on all of the 4 agreements. So don't forget to keep incorporating the other ones, which are be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. don't make assumptions, and always do your best.
Yep. And break out that gratitude jar.
Mm-hmm. Get everything set up this week.
Yep.
Throw some gratitude in there.
And right away, just put something in right away. Start a good habit.
Yeah.
Find something that you're grateful for. All right. Love you guys.
We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.